I want to just talk a little bit about here what it meant, God raising Jesus from the dead. You know, you got to believe that, don't you? According to Romans 10, 9 and 10, you got to believe that God raised him from the dead. What does that mean? And here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter's preaching this here on the day of Pentecost. And there's some interesting stuff here. Let's start here. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, this is all in God's plan. Amen. God ordained this. The prophets prophesied about Jesus' death. The devil didn't know what was going on. It says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't realize what God was doing when he was allowing himself to take the sin of the world. He says here, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed from the pains of death. Notice the word pains is plural there. I believe it's talking about his physical pains that he went through, the sufferings that he went through. And I believe also the pains of being separated from the Father, in the sense that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes. Then he says what? Into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And he allowed himself to go to a place below the earth. Amen. Because it was not possible that it should be holden of him. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Again, David prophesied, he saw this in the Spirit. And we know that David was, when he died, where did he go? He went into the bosom of Abraham. Old Testament, when you died, you didn't go to heaven. I assume a lot of you know this stuff, but some people don't know this. you couldn't go there. Actually, Elijah and Enoch went there, and that's a whole other subject. Amen. But if you died, you went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Jesus even talked about Lazarus and the rich man. Certain rich man and a certain beggar. They opened up their eyes when they died. They were in a place of torment. The place of torment it's not the fires of hell, but it's a place of being tormented. Someone who dies without Christ, they go. It's a holding compartment. It's a prison. How's that? It was a prison for rebellious saints. It actually was not for saints originally. It was for the devil, Jesus said, and those fallen angels. So David's had an insight to this thing, and he says here, because I will not leave my soul in hell. David had a hope that he would be resurrected someday. And when Jesus went into that realm, when he died, was separated from his body, death means separation, that means cease to exist. He went into that place of Abraham's bosom, and he preached the gospel there, it says. Preached the good news. He said, I'm the one that you guys all prophesied about. And I imagine they had a good shouting, hallelujah, time, hallelujah. And then we know that God, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, yes, it'll quicken your mortal body. Someday we're going to get our bodies changed like Jesus did. And in the midst of hell, again, in that place where of separation from God. They were still separated from God there. He took them all to heaven. And we see that, in fact, the book of, one of the Gospels gives an account that some of the saints were actually seen walking around Jerusalem on the way up. That would be pretty neat. Amen. Oh, there's Uncle Harry. I thought he was dead. But the Bible is so interesting with stuff in it, and stuff you can learn. But in that realm, God finally said, in fact, the book of Hebrews chapter 1 is basically God speaking this over Jesus. He calls him his son again. He He says, and again I call you my son. Because now he's restored and he raised him from the dead. And the life of God came into Jesus, and he took all those saints to heaven with him. Hallelujah. And that's where we go now. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. I know there's a bunch of churches out there that don't believe that and religions don't believe that, but I believe the Bible. I'm not going to sleep. And the Bible refers to death as sleep, our physical body sleeping, but you're still alive. You're just in another dimension. It's either in the presence of God or a place of torment. Thank God for Jesus. And eventually, actually, you study resurrection, everybody's bodies will be resurrected at some point. And then they will be cast into the lake of fire. But thank God we'll be in eternity with Jesus. Amen. He did all that again so he would spoil. He spoiled principalities and powers. Remember that in Colossians? In fact, Hebrews 2:14 again. Let's go there. Hebrews 2:14. Thank God for Jesus. So, you know, Peter was preaching that Jesus actually went to that compartment and set the captives free. In fact, Ephesians says he led captivity captive. You ever read that?
Yeah.
He led all those out of that realm into him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as we are children of partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Again, the devil had the power. In other words, he controlled pretty much the death thing. When you died, he took you. That's the way I see it. He took you to his headquarters. Actually, hell's not his headquarters, you think about it. Think about it, you know. It's where he's going to wind up. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's in the realm of the airways. He's up here, yeah. So he's really not in hell yet. He knows he's heading that way, and he's trying to kick and scream as he goes and try to stop him. But he's not in Jesus' name, because we will not allow that. Hallelujah. But he paralyzed. That word spoiled there in Colossians we read last night, it means to paralyze. You ever, you know, when you're fighting someone that's paralyzed, it's an easy fight, amen? They can't move against you. And the devil can't move against us because of what Jesus did. In fact, Luke 11, let's look at Luke 11 here. Let's tie this in. Jesus gave reference to this in his teachings before it ever happened. Luke 11. It says, when a strong man, let's read verse 20, keeping the context. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divided his spoils. So that's what Jesus is. He's the stronger one. Amen?
Yes.
He went in there and defeated Satan, paralyzed him, stopped his activities, and he was raised from the dead. And that's what Colossians 2:15 is all about. He spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them. One translation said he paraded them. There was a parade in the realm of the spirit, like the old Roman conquerors did. They took their enemy and paraded him down the street.
Yes.
Defeated. But if you don't know that, and the devil is very deceitful, you know, in fact, in Matthew, Jesus talks about the last days, and one of the signs of the last days is deception. And we're seeing it all around us now. We're seeing with this AI stuff, you know, you think something's real and it's not. You better be listening to the Holy Ghost in these days. Amen. You better be, when you go to that voting box, you better be listening to God. Because elections have consequences, don't they? Yes, they do. So I'm sure we're all pretty much on the same page in this this group here, but It's amazing how many Christians are deceived. They think government's their God. Yeah, government's not my God. Government's not going to supply all my needs. My God supplies all my needs. Amen. But again, because he did that, he was delegated that authority. The scepter of righteousness was appointed to him, even in that place of his pains of death, we might say. And God raised him from the dead. And thank God for that. Amen. Yeah, there's another verse in Ephesians. Let me just go there quickly. Ephesians 4. That I think will help us see this as well. That Jesus went to hell in that sense. The question among some theologians is, did he go to the place of where the unsaved went, or did he just go to Abraham's bosom? It says pains of death, and I don't know. I don't want to make a religion out of it. I know they criticize us because if you say that to some people, they think you're off the wall. You're in error. You're teaching heresy. But Ephesians 4, another verse here. I had a guy leave my church because I believed that Jesus went to hell. And well, whatever. I think he went to hell so I don't have to. Hallelujah. Yeah. Here it says in verse 8 of chapter 4, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So he led all those that were, see again, you're held captive in the Old Testament as an Old Testament saint. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all those guys, they were in a place, a compartment called the Abrahamic bosom. It wasn't suffering, and there was a gulf between them and the place of torment. Remember, they could see back and forth. But anyhow, in verse 9, now that he ascended, that means to go up, what is it but that he also descended, that means what? To go down, first into the lower parts of the earth. So I believe he actually went into both parts. I believe he went in, he died, he became sin, he died as, he took my sins there, how's that?
Absolutely.
He was made to be sin, who knew no sin, it says in Corinthians, that we might be made the righteousness of himself. And he died, that's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he went to the place to suffer. And in that place, I believe God raised him from the dead. That's my own conviction, so you can take that or leave it. We'll find out the truth someday. Amen? But it says parts, that's plural. Lower parts, that's not, if he said just part, then we'd say it had to be one or the other. But he went to the lower parts. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fulfill all things. Then he gave gifts unto men, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all these good gifts that will help you understand this stuff. Amen. So because he did that, that name now has been delegated to him. And we have the right to use it. Again, John 16, 24, go there with me. It's an interesting study. There's not a whole lot of many books on this subject, but there's some interesting concepts out there. What did that include, the sufferings of Jesus? I believe it's total redemption, so I don't have to go to hell. Yeah, brother.
Isn't there one scripture that said he preached to the captives?
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, he preached.
So the however many parts
could be include both of them. Also, he also preached. He preached to them that he's now Lord. He's King of Kings.
Right, because he wouldn't be preaching to Abraham.
Yeah, the word preach means to announce. He didn't maybe have a session like we're having today, but he announced that he's now. In fact, Revelation said, "I have the keys now to death, hell, and the grave." So he's in charge now. The devil lost his power over that realm. Are you with me?
Yes.
He just can't kill you at will. Amen. John 16, 24. Is everybody there? You beat me to it. John 16, 24. Yeah, hold on. Be patient with this old guy. I didn't program that one in here. Getting younger and younger, amen. The inner man's getting younger and younger. Again, hitherto, or in other words, up to now. and this is what Jesus talking to his disciples, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Yes. So now we ask in his name, because all authority has been given unto him. Now let's talk about authority for a few moments. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. God wants our joy to be full. In fact, that should be one of the signs of that we're a Christian. We have joy in our life. Righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost. And peace in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here in Matthew 8, the story of the centurion. You're probably familiar with this one. Centurion was a Roman soldier. How many here were ever in the military? One? So you know that only 1% of society was in the military. We're 1%ers. That's a different group. Some of you know about motorcycle groups, they call themselves. But if you ever get the opportunity, some of you are too old for that now, I'm sure. But in the military, the first thing you learn is about authority. You learn that there's people that are in charge that you must obey or you pay. And brother, what service were you in?
Army.
Army, okay. What was your MOS?
I was a cook.
Cook. Well, we needed cooks, amen. I always liked Army food. I didn't have any trouble with it. I don't know. There's always plenty of it, and I had KP a lot too, so I guess. I do remember one time I was eating green beans and there was a big old green worm in there. And I thought, I think it's the last time I ate green beans. You always examine your food before you eat it. Probably good for you, right? But this centurion was a military man. He understood authority. And it says in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. I always say this, you need to become sick of whatever the devil's putting on you. Amen? Be sick of whatever diagnosis they gave you. Grievously tormented. Again, who's doing this? The devil. Being tormented. Sickness and disease is torment. I hate being sick. You can't feel like doing nothing, you know? That's why he says he wishes above all things we prosper and be in health. Amen. If I'm poor, I can't go. And if I'm sick, I don't feel like going. So God wants me healthy and prosperous. Amen. Another subject altogether. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus never hesitated because his assignment was to heal the sick. I will. In fact, there's a leper that wanted to know if Jesus was willing to heal him one day. And he said, I will. I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now, this man was a Gentile again, which didn't have covenant. Jesus was dealing primarily with the Jewish people that day. But he says, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. See, I like it when people say, speak the word. Yeah. Speak the word. But if you don't know what the word is, how can you as a king proclaim that in the situation? You need to know the word. You got to read it to know it. You got to study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's really talking about, you need to know the difference between the Old and the New Testament. Things have changed, and God's dealing with us and so forth. Thank God we don't have to go out and have blood sacrifices anymore. My wife, wouldn't be a Christian. She can't even look at blood. She gets sick. Thank God the blood of Jesus has done it once and for all on the mercy seat. Amen. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, it caught him He just wasn't used to that kind of, you know, people relating to him. He said, and he said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He called this great faith. You know, you can have little faith. You can have great faith. You can have no faith. You know, there's different terms, adjectives that describe faith in the Bible. I want to have great faith. What is that? God, you said it. I believe it. That's it. You said I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's the way it's going to be. Come hell or high water. And after I'm done standing, I'm going to stand. And if I die in the midst of that, I'm going out believing. And you explain to me and I get the other side what happened. He goes, you know, we can be destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, there's some things we don't know and we are limited. You understand that? In fact, the Bible says we know in part. That's why I like to get around other parts, because we get our parts together, we have a big piece of the pie. I used to shut out the other parts, but I'll listen to other parts. And I always line it up with the Word. If it don't line up with the Word, just, you know, I think, you know, you go believe what you want to believe. Just let me alone. let me alone. I'm at peace. Hallelujah. And I know God's word's true. But great faith. Man, great faith. Where Jesus said to his disciples one time, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Remember that in the storm?
Yes.
"Oh, ye of little faith." It means in the Greek, short-lived. Short-lived. He said, "We're going to the other side," and they forgot about it already. That's why you got to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, or you'll forget too. And your faith will be short-lived. We got to have great faith. How do I get to that place of great faith? Well, Proverbs 4 is one that I like to take the principles out of Proverbs chapter 4, meditate in the Word day and night. Amen. To become health to your flesh, and you know, ponder, think about it, attend to it. That word attend means to give your full attention to it. And like I said last night, we're distracted by so much. The devil is constantly trying to keep that word from getting into our hearts. Because we get it in our hearts and we start believing it, start saying it, it changes circumstances. Mountains begin to move. You know, we're mountain moving people. Most people are not moving mountains. They're just, they pray to God about the mountain. Tell God how big the mountain is and why'd you put this mountain in my path. And no, we're to say unto the mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea." See, I had a diagnosis 2.5 years ago of, I'll just say it here today for this class, chronic kidney disease. That was my diagnosis. That's not good news. It's not. But to this day, again, I'm improving. I'm getting better. I'm amending because I'm saying to that mountain of kidney disease, out of my body. You can't. My kidneys were created to create and put all kind of good stuff in my system and serve my body. Yeah. But you have to talk. You know, it's all right to talk to yourself about your body. The book of James says the whole body's turned about by my tongue. I talk to my organs. 2.5 years ago, they said my heart was operating at 20%. That's not good either. Well, since then, it's less with 65, and I have a test coming up here next month, so... It must be pretty good. I went on that 14-mile bicycle ride the other day. See, God's word works. But I talk to my heart, my pancreas. The pancreas, you pancreate. You do your thing. Amen. You convert that sugar into what is not in the good stuff. Amen. You have to do that. The just shall live by faith. If you don't want to live, just don't live. Don't speak to yourself. Curse yourself. I don't know if you can get a hold of that or not. It's important what you say out of your mouth. As a king, kings have what they say. Amen? In fact, we could get into this whole subject of the legal system of the realm of heaven, where God sits as the judge and we have an advocate, Jesus, our lawyer, and the devil is the prosecuting attorney. It's all in the scripture. He's trying to prosecute you all the time. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's watching you, listening to what you're saying. He's keeping track. He's trying to get evidence against you. You better have faith as your evidence. Does that sound familiar? Faith is the subject, is our evidence. What I believe in the Word is my evidence. And what I've been saying is my evidence. We know that he trapped Job in that situation. And Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." Job evidently had fear of all that stuff happening, losing it all and so forth. He must have spoken it. And the devil took him to court, got him found guilty, and he paid. But at the end of the chapter, thank God we have an end of the chapter. He came to his senses, and in fact, God appeared out of the whirlwind and said, "You've spoken wrongly of me," because he was accusing God of doing this. It wasn't God, it was the devil. And he didn't know. He didn't have a Bible. He couldn't read it. He didn't have the revelation we have. And then God turned his captivity. He got back, what, twice what the devil stole from him. So we win. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know we're winners? Doesn't the Bible say we're more than conquerors? I got to give this illustration in case some of you never heard it. I had the privilege years ago to why did I struggle with his name? The famous boxer. No. No, just the last 20 years. Not Tyson. He fought Tyson. Tyson bit his ear off. Holyfield. Evander. There's a block in my mind. But we had the privilege to get to know him. He doesn't sound like I know him. I couldn't remember his name. But I drove him around the car and did some other things with him. And the first thing I noticed about Evander, he had his hands were so huge, about twice the size of my hand. I said, no wonder he's a boxer, you know. But, you know, he'd go out and fight, and he'd come home with millions of dollars. And he'd take that check, and he'd hand it to his wife. And she became more than a conqueror. See, that's what Jesus did. He spoiled principalities and powers, fought the devil, paralyzed him, came out of that, handed us the check. We get to fill in the blank. Whatsoever you shall ask now in my name, I'll do it for you. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Amen. Start writing out those checks. It won't bounce in his name. Amen. You put your name at the bottom, it may bounce. But you put Jesus' name, there's more than enough. He's the God that's more than enough. That's another thing. But this man had great faith because he believed. Actually, I'll tell you what he believed here. This will be good. In fact, go with me to 1 John. Let me get back to my... First John. I always say Little John. For all you Robin Hood fans, I was thinking of combat. That wasn't Little John, was it? Huh? Yeah, Robin Hood, yeah. Well, there's a guy in combat. Remember the show Combat? The big guy they called. I thought they called him Little John, too. Before your time, I'm sorry. I got the wrong group here. You don't even know what I'm talking about, combat, do you? I watch old TV shows. I watch MeTV and that old stuff. 1 John 5, let's go there. I believe, I'm going to share what I got through meditation here years ago when Jesus called this great faith. What made this such great faith was the fact that he actually believed Jesus was God manifested in the flesh.
Hallelujah.
He got past, what's the Bible say? Know no man after the flesh. He got past the flesh, so what Jesus looked like in the natural, and he actually believed that Jesus was God. And he could do the work. And Jesus said, that's great faith. In fact, let's start here in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat it loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? See, that describes to me what great faith is. Now, we know that cults don't believe that, do they? In fact, in the book of 1 John, it says that's how we know the spirit of Antichrist is. They will not confess or agree that Jesus has come in the flesh, or God came in the flesh. That makes us different from many churches. We believe that God was manifested in the flesh. He became flesh. Laid aside his deity and took a human body. And if you go to heaven today, there's a human resurrected form body at the right hand of the Father. Created in his image. Amen? Are you with me? Again, a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's a lot of the Mormons, they don't believe this. But they're nice people. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. You got to have faith to get to heaven. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe this. They believe that Jesus was a prophet, he was a great man, da, 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 da. But they don't believe that he came in the flesh. And who is he that's going to overcome the world? Him that believes that he came in the flesh. Amen. In fact, in John 8:24, I'm watching my time here. We're doing good. John 8:24, he said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That I am he there in the Greek is the words ego me, or the I am that I am. You must believe that Jesus is the I am, or you're dying in your sins. And that takes great faith to believe that God came and became a man. It doesn't seem reasonable. You got to believe it, though, that he became flesh and dwelt amongst us, humbled himself. And because he did it, he's now highly exalted. And the glory that he had before, he has it back again, because he was raised from the dead. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Again, it's not enough to believe that he was a great man. It's not enough to believe that he was a prophet. You must believe that he's the ego of me. The I am that I am. And that differentiates us between many religions of the world and even churches nowadays. Amen.
Yes.
In fact, Acts 2:21, this is what they preached in the New Testament. That's where I am at in the New Testament. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why we call on his name. It's Jesus. There is no other salvation in no other names. There are not many ways to heaven. That's what we're hearing now in the modern church. You know, God has many names. No. He has one name that you're saved by, Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Not many ways to God, just one. Well, they'll call you everything else in the book. No, I'm sorry, this is what the Word says. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then you're on your own. I have chosen to believe the word, and it works for me. Not just this part, but the other aspects of life and living work for me in the word. Amen. Acts 4:12, none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other name. Acts 8:35, let's look at this verse here. Am I going too fast?
No, you're good.
You guys are skilled in the word of righteousness. You can get a fine. You go to some churches, they went where do you begin to look? Acts 8. Philip is preaching the gospel to this man that was riding on the chariot, seeking God. You know, when you seek God, God will get to you. Amen?
That's right.
Yeah. He says, knock and it'll be open. Seeking, you shall find. And this man was seeking for truth. See, there's really no excuse for people. People say, well, God, I didn't know. You didn't seek God. If you're hungry for God, God will show up, in other words. Amen. He that hungers and thirsteth after righteousness, we get it. So he sends Philip. Philip's in the middle of a revival, you know, preaching to all these people being healed, miracles happening, and God whisks him away. Translation is called. I'm believing God for that again. Amen? Why not? Amen. We should carry our passports with us. Amen. We had one of our Bible teachers at Rhema. God would translate him to Mexico. He'd tell the story. I've been there. I'd come back, and he said I'd wake up in bed, and there'd be sand in my bed from my walking in the sand. Hey, if we don't expect it, and don't have faith for it, it won't happen. But God translated Philip. I think it was about 12 miles, I think I read one commentary. It took him 12 miles. That's a long ways to walk, so quick, amen. Took him there. By the Spirit, he preaches the gospel to him, and he says, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture. He's reading out of Isaiah. And preached unto him Jesus. He didn't preach unto him all Levitical law, and you got to do this to get saved. You got to join this church. You got to witness to this many people. No, you got to believe the name of Jesus because it's the key. Amen. I believe. In fact, down here in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. In the moment we believe, we become a new creation. As we heard earlier today, amen. A new species. Something that didn't exist before in this world. Spiritual beings. Image of Christ, hallelujah, in our inner man. How about Ephesians 5, verse 20? Ephesians 5, 20. I know a lot of us know this stuff, but I know faith comes by hearing, so I'm not ashamed to repeat it. Like I said last night, to learn a language, you got to hear it, speak it, hear it. And it'll finally you find yourself dreaming in that language. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, giving thanks to God for all things unto God. Now, that word all would be better translated. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do have a degree, studied Greek. It means it's better translated as over all things. Because I'm not going to give God thanks for cancer. I'm not going to give thanks God for any kind of disease or tragedy in my life. He's not the source of it. Are you with me?
Yes.
In fact, there's another verse, I think it's in Colossians, in all things give thanks, in the midst of what you're going through. give thanks. What are we thanking God for? That he has already conquered whatever I'm facing, and I'm going to come through it. I may believe in we go through things. Don't camp out there. Keep going through. Amen. Well, don't look like, I don't care what it looks like. Faith doesn't look at what it sees, hears, tastes, touches, smells. It believes what God has said about the circumstance. Amen. Giving thanks always over all things we might say. Praise God. We should always be thankful. I think that's one thing our society has lost. You know, it's gratitude. We are so blessed even to live in America. How many ever traveled outside of America or the States? Oh, you guys, you know that. How blessed we are to live in America. Amen. I mean, I've been all around the world, every continent except Africa. I found out why God hadn't called me to Africa. We have a bunch of Africans at our church now, and it was a celebration, they called it, of one of the guy's dad who came to our church for a while, and then he went back to Africa, and he died. But they had all this African food, and I couldn't stand any of it. It's horrible. Does anybody else eat African food? Oh, it was terrible. I did eat it, because you were set before you give thanks and eat. That's what the Bible says, amen? You know, the missionary, where he leads me, I will follow. What they feed me, I will swallow. That's a missionary creed. You have to do that. And I was sitting at the table with these Africans. I had to eat their food, and I was like, oh, God, help me. I got it down. I said, Lord, I know why you didn't call me to Africa. I like European food and Russian and meat and potatoes. Pennsylvania Dutch, you know how we are. But we need to be thankful. There's just something about someone who's thankful. You know, I'm always thanking people. People need to be thanked. We need that. And God needs it, in the sense that he doesn't need to go. He's going to do it. He is good, but he appreciates when you thank him. It's a form of praise, amen? Yeah. We're to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Always be thankful in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So what time now? It's 11 o'clock. What are we doing now, guys? I can stop here or I can keep going on. It's up to you.
You can keep on.
I can keep going a little bit?
Until a quarter of it. If you want to give me a second, we'll start another session.
Okay.